patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We talked to Astros, we talked to Sean Watson, we talked about the last preseason game. So the last preseason game came and went, and, you know, you can catch all the hell you want. You can give John Harbaugh all the crap you want to give him. Guy's got to play. If it was the third preseason game and not the fourth one, what's the difference? I mean, there is no fourth game. So you say, well, you're supposed to rest your starters in the last game. Ah, he gets hurt. You know what? Dobbins is out. Dobbins is out for the season now. And it just, I don't believe in that crap. You know, Tom Brady played three series, which I couldn't believe. But you can't just go into the season putting everybody in a bubble wrap. You got to play some football. Dobbins had to get ready for some football, and he got hurt. That's all. That's what happened. What an idiot move. Everybody played their starters this past week. Everybody.
Yeah, there's some longer than others. I tell you what's a concern for me. I was just reading a piece on Titus Howard. Titus Howard is officially going to be a guard. And Charlie Heck looks like he is your starting right tackle. We've been sitting there watching that in the preseason. Marcus Cannon hadn't played. Marcus mm-hmm. Cannon's not playing. Mm-hmm. We can't keep saying Marcus Cannon started guard, Marcus Cannon started tackle. That's not happening right now. What it looks like is here's what you're looking at. Left guard, Titus Howard. Left tackle, Laremy Tunsil. Center, Justin Britt. Right guard, Max Sharping. Right tackle, Charlie Heck. That's not a very strong right side in terms of physical strength. Max Sharping's pretty decent in pass protection. Charlie Heck, that's going to be a problem. And I think what we're going to see is either Titus Howard's going to have to be ready to bounce out to right tackle again, or they got to get Marcus Cannon back healthy and contributing and all that stuff. But right now, you know, I know what Laremy Tunsil can do. I'm not super confident in their ability to run the ball with Titus Howard, Max Sharping, and Justin Britt in the middle. They got some pass protection guys at guard. I'm not sure they're going to be very good run blockers. And that's a big concern for me, because if you don't run the football well for the Texans, you're just not going to – I don't think you're going to have much of a chance to move the football. I mean, I would say, John, right now, I don't think it's crazy to say the Texans are going to struggle getting to 17 points a game this year.
No. It's just they have just so few weapons. Mm-hmm. They just are so.
I mean, that's converting two touchdowns a game, basically. I don't know how they're going to do it.
Yeah, 17 points a game. Would you take 17 right now?
I probably would. And that means that they're one of the worst teams.
No, they'll be one of the worst offenses.
I'm going to look up the last year. So team offense last year, the worst offense in the league was the worst offense in the league?
Worst scoring offense in the league.
Well, the Jets had the lowest. I'm looking for points per. The Jets had the lowest yards, total yards, 4,400. That's pretty low. Pretty low. Let me look at – I'll find points per game here in a second. But I would say, honestly, if I had to set an over-under, if I said 17.5, I'd play under. I think you almost might have to make 16.5 the over-under.
Yeah. We know what they are. I mean, this was a game – if the Bucks first team offense – by the way, Jerome Solomon's tweet was hilarious. Tom Brady has not played in front of a crowd this small since high school. And you know what? You think about it. At Michigan, certainly not. Mm-mm. With the Patriots, never. Patriots fans on the road would have put more people in stadiums than the Texans had on Saturday night. And I don't want to just crush the team and everything else, but this is as bad as we've ever seen it as far as enthusiasm for this football team.
The worst points per game last year was New York Jets 15.2, yeah. Giants 17.5. I don't think it's outrageous to think the Texans are going to be in the 16. Looking at this, I think that under 17 seems very reasonable.
Yeah, I mean, with as few weapons as they have, plus the offensive line, and plus, you know, Terod, everything about it. Everything about it. He didn't look good. And certainly, if anything happens to him, there's big trouble in River City if Davis Mills has to take over.
Mm.
And you know what? Davis Mills has to take over at some point. He does.
Help you lock in on his future replacement.
Well, yes. You have to know. You have to know. You saw. Now, and let's not be too hard on Davis Mills. He's a third rounder playing in his third preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
He sucks. You see, what a wasted pick and everything. It's the third preseason game for a rookie. So let's slow down. He wasn't good. No, but you know what? He's making some throws. There's some things that you can be encouraged about with him. Is he any good right now? No, but he's a third preseason game for a rookie. Let's stop crushing the kid. First of all, it's not his fault that they took him in the third round.
No, it's not his fault, but no, and you're right. He's going to take a lot of the heat. My whole thing, I had Greg, who's been a long time listening to the show, he's all pissed off about that. This is my thing. I thought that he was the exact wrong pick for the Texans for everything you're mentioning. The mm-hmm. Texans need a quarterback, and it probably needs to be a quarterback drafted early. And you know you're going to have a good pick next year if you're honest about this. The whole time we've known they're going to be a bad team. They're not going to get a lot of wins. And if that's going to be the case, even if they're competitive defensively, they don't have enough offensively to keep up in a high-scoring league. So if that's the case, John, why would you draft a guy who is a developmental guy who doesn't have a lot of experience, is probably not going to show you that he can be a plus quarterback early on. He needs more time than that since he has 11 total college starts. So when you work all the math on it, that pick to me didn't make any sense for the Texans. With that said, I'm willing to give the kid a chance. I mean, I personally don't think it's going to work out, but I hope I'm wrong, and I'm willing to be wrong, and I'm willing to let the kid have a chance. He hasn't taken the test yet. How are we giving grades on tests that haven't been taken? Yeah. So I'm willing to give him a chance. Do I think it's going to work out? No, I don't. But I'm not going to kill the kid right now when he hasn't even had a chance. I'm not going to kill I already said my piece on the Texans drafting him there. I've already made that. But what's done is done. So let's see what happens now.
Right. All right. Elsewhere in the league, Trevor Lawrence looked pretty good. Trevor Lawrence looked
11 to 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good. Gardner Minshew was traded to the Eagles for a 6th-round pick. So there is no.
Does that even make what Pete Prisco was talking about look even worse? That Gardner Minshew is, you know, taking away snaps, and you're making Trevor Lawrence. I don't know if you wanted to motivate Trevor Lawrence by making it a quarterback competition, but it makes it look even worse that you wasted reps for Trevor Lawrence.
Pete was with us on that. Like, just so people who didn't get to hear Pete Prisco, he thought it was a total waste of time.
Right.
He didn't understand.
Thought
any
it was
of
idiotic.
That stuff. Yeah, and kind of. I think that's kind of what my feeling was on it, too. I don't know about you, but this idea that Gardner Minshew might be the quarterback, what Pete Prisco, who lives in Jacksonville, said is, it's funny that people outside of Jacksonville have a much higher opinion of Gardner Minshew than people who watch him every day.
Right. And yet, look at Andy Dalton with what Justin Fields has shown this preseason. Andy Dalton's still the starter.
Andy outplayed him for most of camp.
Who's better, Gardner Minshew or Andy Dalton right now?
Andy Dalton. Yeah, I know. Gardner Minshew was bad.
He didn't look very good last year with the Cowboys.
But we saw Gardner Minshew. He's looked terrible. Gardner Minshew helped lead the Jacksonville Jaguars to the worst team in the league.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And the Texans beat the brakes off of him in London. Like, Gardner Minshew hasn't been good. I don't know where the Gardner Minshew thing, because there was some hype from early what he did. He hasn't carried it over.
No, Andy didn't look good last year either, though. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how long. But Andy Dalton is officially the starter.
Hurt. When did Andy Dalton get hurt? He didn't look good, but he didn't.
No, remember that he got waylaid and none of the Cowboys linemen went up.
That was such a bad look.
That was a bad, bad look.
Well, he had Andy Dalton. I think he'd surprise you. His touchdowns, interceptions. Would this surprise you? Last year with the Cowboys, he was 4-5 as a starter. He completed 65% of his passes. He had 14 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. That's not optimal.
No, that's not awful. It's not
optimal.
No, it's not awful either, though. I mean, at least he had more touchdowns and interceptions. And I guess Dobbins' injury, that was the headliner. Other than that,
yeah,
it's here we got a week off. This is so strange. Usually you go from the Thursday of the last preseason game and you start the following Thursday.
Well, for those who missed it, J.K. Dobbins tore his ACL. Fantasy football people mostly are going to be the most excited. But it's a bigger deal because Mark Ingram's gone. J.K. Dobbins is now gone. Now, all of a sudden, they went from being loaded at running back to like, okay, you have Gus Edwards. And who else do they have out there? I mean, they've got somebody else. I'll check the depth chart. But the J.K. Dobbins piece is kind of a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely is.
That's why a lot of people already had Cleveland winning that division anyway. I know I have Cleveland winning that division. I think the life just got a lot harder for Lamar Jackson, who has wide receivers hurt. His top running back is out for the year. Lamar Jackson is going to have to carry a lot more of the heavy lifting in Baltimore. And I don't think that's a good thing for Baltimore or for Lamar Jackson, where everyone's going to be looking at him on every play. I think that makes it really, really tough for him. Yeah, Gus, Justice Hill, Ty Williams, Nate McCrary, they're gonna have to trade for a running back.
812 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776.
Justice Hill, that's your guy.
That's my guy.
From Oklahoma State.
That's my guy. Yeah. We'll go around college football when we come back right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, what about the Dirty Birdie Charity Classic? I don't think that's a Dirty Birdie. It's presented by the Crew DeRue and powered by Mac Vibe Services. My man Tiny is instrumental in this thing every year, and it's so much fun. It's happening Friday, September 17th at Battleground Golf Course in Deer Park. If you want to be a part of it, you want to play in it, you want to help out, if you're a Shriner, now minor Shriners are benefiting, the Ronald McDonald House of Galveston, which is so important to help them out, and the American Heart Association. This is a party. It's a gigantic party. You got to feel, I'm pretty sure Tiny is probably with the Cajun Navy right now. He can't even hear this because he's helping out Louisiana. These guys just love to help out. They are all about charities, and this is the Dirty Birdie Charity Classic. If you want more information, you want to play in the tournament, you want to help donate, whatever it is, what you want to do, ESPN975.com. Go to ESPN975.com.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. There are very few people that didn't have a better weekend than Scott Frost. Very few people.
All right, name them. Brian Abreu.
Didn't have a great weekend.
I would argue that Brian Abreu is less his. I think it's about the same, Brian Abreu, because Brian Abreu, he can't afford those kind of horrific outings.
No, he's not going to have a job long.
Frost can't afford to have.
Neither of them.
It's equal. I'd say Brian Abreu and Scott Frost, same.
Yeah, I can see that.
Who had a worse weekend than Scott Frost?
Everybody in Louisiana.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Everyone.
Yeah, especially I got some friends from New Orleans. We're on a text string. From old Tulane buddies, and they actually said they're doing
not
okay.
Not everybody.
No, they said inside
New
the
Orleans
levee.
New Orleans area,
there were some spots that had some, but if you're inside the levee area, it was a lot better.
Yeah.
Homa had some
LaFouche.
Did
you guys see the video of, like, LaFouche? Somebody was underneath one of the, an overpass where flood has already come up, and the wind there was unbelievable. Yeah, the southwest Louisiana was
bad.
Some pretty bad
southeast
stuff.
Louisiana.
Yeah,
southeast.
Well, Louisiana. Yeah, more southeast, I guess. Yeah, it took a further.
Southwest is Lake Charles. Anyway, so, thoughts and prayers to everybody. I'm telling you, I know that's probably where Tiny is right now. the Cajun Navy goes out there and listen, they help their own for sure. I mean, it's the Cajun Navy, so you know that they're there helping out. Mattress Mack sent a truck full of a food truck out there, which was really, really nice.
He's already opened up his entire showroom for anybody from Louisiana who needs refuge to sleep there and stay there as long as they need.
Did you see the I-10 all weekend long?
The gridlock on it?
It took over 12 hours. A buddy of mine said it. His buddies came from, a family came from Baton Rouge. Took them 12 hours to get to Houston.
Ooh, Baton Rouge ended up being just fine, I think.
Yeah. And he
wind and rain, but nothing.
Yeah, he got too out severe. Though. Yeah. And yeah,
you can't mess
he probably
around
regrets
with
that though.
He regrets it now.
Now he does.
But
that 12-hour trip with two little kids in the car.
Yeah. Well, you remember is me and Jeremy Foster and my dog Gordo.
Yeah, I remember you guys doing that.
It took us 10 hours to get when we all evacuated. Was it Rita? That didn't really hit
us. Rita, yeah.
So I took off. It took us 10 hours to get to Bastrop. It took my wife 17. We caught her in Bastrop.
Wow.
Because I was on some contraflow and I was on the grass.
It's amazing
driving.
To me. Why don't you open up the eastbound lanes for the people getting out? Yeah.
Yeah. I was able to hit some contraflow, which is why I caught my wife. We had a 7-hour head start.
Yeah. It didn't take us that long to get to Dallas.
We got like one thing of water. Remember, it was like 100. Yeah. It was like 100 degrees outside.
Dog.
And he's pouring it to the dog. I'm like, Fizzle, what are you doing? Stop giving Gordo water in the car. Like, we got to hang on to that stuff. Yeah. We're in an air-conditioned car. Let's just sit tight. But, thoughts and prayers to all the people who are affected. And a lot of power still out in that.
Right.
And it's going to be for a while. Those winds were
brutal. Thoughts and prayers to all you guys out there. So the college football season started with Nebraska. Now, at no point would Nebraska-Illinois be a highlight of any college football day, but when it's the first game going off and Scott Frost is getting his ass handed to him, then it's something that's front and center. You should never do that, Nebraska. What you want to do is you don't even want to start until week 2 or 3 and, you know, kind of right in the middle, and you want to start with South Arkansas State. And you really want to get into it so nobody talks about you at all. Instead, you're the first game really kicked off for the college football season, and now everybody's looking at Scott Frost like, holy crap, are you terrible. UCLA beat the snot out of Hawaii. LSU has UCLA this week. LSU is here practicing, apparently. They've come here. We actually heard, we were out of Wildcat yesterday, and we heard the band at NRG. We heard the band playing, so they were all here. UTEP off to a good start, but they played New Mexico State. And that was it. San Jose State, for those of you that are gambling addicts and you had to stay up for a game and you had to watch, you had Fresno State beating the snot out of UConn. You probably picked up some money there, and you picked up some money on San Jose State over Southern Utah.
UCLA was an easy one for me. That was the one that I targeted because UCLA, Chip Kelly, I think is going to be a problem in year 3 over there. I think he's going to figure it out. Hawaii's not good, but I think UCLA is going to be an interesting team to watch. UConn?
UConn
is so awful. I was with AJ Hoffman on Saturday afternoon, and he's in Vegas. You know, he works for a handicapping company, RJ Bell. And he is he had a big play on UConn.
What?
And, not UConn, I'm sorry, Fresno State.
Okay.
He loved Fresno State, and he was right. And so we were paying attention to that game when I was in the car. UConn is so bad. People fell down multiple times. Like, oh, another quarterback has fallen down. This is a 94-yard touchdown pass for Fresno. Here it drops back. Oh, defense all falls down. 75-yard touchdown for Fresno. Here's the handoff. Everyone falls down. 97-yard touchdown for Fresno. I'm like, what? How bad is this team where everyone constantly falls down?
Awesome.
I'm not really paying attention to UConn, but now I know who the worst team in college football is.
You know,
is
so
year.
That's funny. So instead of betting on good teams, just bet against bad teams all the time.
So AJ and RJ had this battle where AJ told me, yeah, RJ Bell thinks I'm a square for... I like to bet on good teams and bet against bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
And RJ thinks that's square. I'm like, well, who cares if you win, though? like betting on bad teams is not, I've done this long enough to know that betting on bad teams doesn't end well. Mm-mm. Bad teams don't cover at a good clip. Every once in a while, you'll get somebody who the win-loss doesn't necessarily, you know, it's a lot of close win-losses. But if you bet against bad teams, especially early on, you have a huge advantage. He goes, well, RJ thinks I'm a square for it. I'm like, I would be square all day long.
Well, if
it
who made, cares if you're a square money. Or not? You're making
exactly.
money.
Make money.
As long as you pick the right side.
Exactly.
Oh, I got to be so smart because I got to pick this unbelievable dog that covered against a really good team. No. I've got to win. Just give me a winner. I don't give a rat's ass if it's a favorite or an underdog. Play against a UConn all year, and you'll make yourself some money, people. Play against UConn all year. So we got that. Now, we also got, what do you think about, we got this week's games coming up. We got Dell going to join us this week. We know Jimbo's joining us tomorrow at 7:15. You guys saw that, right?
I haven't talked, Dell's on vacation all week.
He was on vacation last week, wasn't he?
He started Thursday. He's gone all this week, too.
How lazy is he now? That is unbelievable how lazy he's gotten. We got U of H against Texas Tech. Come on, people. You got to get on out to that game. Got to fill NRG Stadium. Don't make it look like a Texans game in there, okay?
I think he actually went on vacation with Charlie because Charlie was off Friday. Charlie's off, I think, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week. So I think he and Charlie are vacationing together.
So you think
they're building a relationship.
Charlie and Dell are vacationing together.
That's yeah, they wanted to build the host producer relationship.
That's
so
where
they decided,
you got this.
You know,
one.
Like our guys at the Wheelhouse, they went to the Astros game the Wednesday before their show started. They were out there. They're you know enjoying some food, sitting there watching the game together.
Nice,
getting to know each other
under
I think
a blanket.
That's Charlie and Dell needed to go on a retreat.
I gotcha.
There's 0% chance that happened. Those are two guys who don't want to hang out with anybody. Trust me, Dell doesn't want to hang out with you. You no. meaning in Newstead form, and Charlie doesn't want to hang out with you. You think they want to hang out with each other? No.
Hells no. What do you think about LSU going to UCLA?
I think it's going to be tough because LSU this week is dealing with a lot of stress about what was going on with the storm. So you have that going on. It messed with their it just messed with their overall planning and things like that. And you have another team who had a chance to work out some of the kinks. I think that's a dangerous game. For LSU.
I'll tell you what else is a dangerous game. Arkansas giving Rice 19.5 points.
Rice is more competitive last year.
Rice is sporty this year.
Is he?
Yes.
Well, you know, I love David Blumgren, their coach. I think
he was the right choice.
No, it is. I don't know that he made the right choice. You know, that Rice, I think so highly of him. He's the O-line coach for Stanford. And Rice... still worry that Rice is a dead end.
He's going to be I don't think so. I think he's going to parlay this into a nicer job. Really do.
When is
because
it
he's going to start. He's going to start winning.
He's going to have to because this is what year four for him.
Yeah.
And I mean, if he doesn't do it this year, I don't know when he's going
to
do it.
You have to applaud him for anything he does at Rice.
Oh no,
the support that he gets there.
I do. I just think he could have got a better job than Rice. He's the O-line coach and run game coordinator for Stanford.
I think he's got a better reputation now than he did when he got there.
We'll see. We'll see if an AD will hire him coming off of a Rice. I mean, he needs to win this year because football people know what he can do. But the people who hire head coaches, though,
those are
ADs. Now, he'll get a job if he's not head coach there, he'll get a job as an O-line coach easily.
Yeah.
But I really worried that he looked at Rice as like, oh, this could be the Stanford of the South. No, it can't.
Or... this could be a nice stepping stone, and I do I do believe that he's going to and that he is going to be a tough out right there.
What
about
year.
Texas and the Raging Cajuns, bro?
I think Texas is going to give the Raging Cajuns a hard time. Although that is a really tough team, Louisiana Lafayette Cajuns.
University of Louisiana.
Yeah, the University of Louisiana is what they call them now. That has been such a fun team for us to watch with the Joe Moore Awards the last 2 years. They had two offensive linemen from 2 years ago get drafted and who are Robert Hunt and Kevin Dotson. And they had three running backs who have been factors, like two wide receivers. Man, that coach is doing a hell of a job over there. I would typically say that's not a layup. I just think I think Sark is going to have him ready to roll. Now, from a handicapping standpoint, you lay too big a number against Louisiana Lafayette, I'll guarantee
it's eight.
Where is it?
It's at Texas.
Ooh, that's Well, that's a lot of respect for Louisiana Lafayette. That's a good
number.
You
know
why?
Because they deserve a lot.
Because the wise guys would beat the hell out of that number.
And let's not forget Texas in their first game of the year. It hasn't been good.
No,
but it's a new coach.
No Tom Herman. It's a new coach. But Louisiana Lafayette is a tough out.
Really tough out.
You remember what they did to Iowa State and Brock Purdy last year? They beat the brakes off them.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised at all. I like a couple of dogs. I like Rice, and I like Louisiana.
You know, you might not be right. That might not be wrong. That may be inside of 7 points either way. And that's not a lock at Texas.
No, I think that's going to be a tough one that's coming down to the wire. 828 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. We'll get back to this Deshaun stuff on the other side right here on ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, you want a tailgate. How about this? Go to Pete's Fine Meats. And Michael has got a tailgate package for you. You bring this meat to your tailgate. You enjoy some of the best meat that you'll find in the city of Houston. You want that gigantic brontosaurus steak with it is unbelievable how big and juicy the tomahawk is. It is, he'll make it as thick as you want.
Yeah.
And if you are looking for the best burger in this city, I'm telling you right now, that tri-blend that he does is absolutely the best burger that I've ever had in my life.
So a lot of times you go have these burgers at different places and you think, man, how is this burger so good? Well, it's because they use different cuts of meat in there. And he uses brisket, beef short rib, and I believe is either sirloin or chuck is the third blend, third meat for the blend. It's phenomenal. And he'll make as many as you want, vacuum seal them. You can throw them in the freezer if you want. Dino ribs, pork ribs, so many tailgating foods like bacon-wrapped shrimp, bacon-wrapped quail, and steak, as John mentioned, cut to your specifications. It's Pete's Fine Meats, Richmond and Chimney Rock. And by the way, stop in for a delicious lunch or breakfast as well. They're open for that too. And they process deer, so they are your full-stop butcher shop. Pete's Fine Meats. Hey, guys, Underdog Fantasy has Best Ball Mania is going on right now. They've got three football tournaments. They're season-long tournaments, so what you do is you can enter for $5 with grand prize with the prizes totaling $1 million. You got Best Ball Mania 2, which is their big boy, $25 with $3.5 million worth of prizes, including $1 million for first place, and then a $250 entry. Right now they have 2,300 entrants there, and prizes are $525,000. What happens is this is a fantasy league where you get to draft. You have an actual draft, and it'll take place the day. I mean, you're going to have a draft here very, very quickly as soon as you enter in. But what happens is it's called best ball, meaning in your roster, whoever your best scores are, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, kicker, defense, whatever, that's who you end up getting. Their score is what you end up getting at the end of the week. So you don't have to worry about sit, start, but you also don't get to have waiver wire. So those of you who are very skilled at selecting the right players, you have a little bit of luck, but mostly skill. You are going to win the big bucks with UnderdogFantasy.com. Don't forget to check out their head-to-head matchups as well, because you have a great chance of winning parlayed amounts in there. All completely, absolutely legal, and you can check this out by going to UnderdogFantasy.com. Use promo code RADIO. Get a $25 cash bonus when you make your first deposit. UnderdogFantasy.com.
The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
By the way, no. Looking at Twitch, UCLA going to roll LSU? The answer is no. Dorian Robinson can't throw. Dorian Robinson can't throw, and LSU is going to swarm defensively.
They can run,
but LSU, they don't see that defensive line. They just,
no, that was Hawaii. That's a whole different
deal. Yeah, yeah.
No, Hawaii versus LSU is going to look
Chip is, a Dorian lot Robinson is too one-dimensional.
So the big news over the weekend, it was not, and we'll get to the boxing match that took place. Actually ended up being a pretty good fight. The Astros won 2-3, but the big news was that Deshaun Watson, news came out, and Charles Robinson had a report that the pace is potentially quickening between the Houston Texans and the Miami Dolphins. Is there is a belief that the Dolphins could be in the mix for Deshaun Watson this year and sometime relatively soon. The asking price, according to Charles Robinson, who got this from another AFC team, was at 3 firsts and 2 seconds, or what the Texans are asking for. I think that's the right price of what they should be asking for. And I think at the right time, they could get, you know, that kind of value. But the right time for me, John, is when Deshaun Watson has either been cleared of everything or we have a definitive answer on how long he will be out. And so the teams can operate knowing that Deshaun Watson will be their full-time quarterback, full-time quarterback after a certain amount of certain game suspension, which I do think is going to happen. But one of the things he brought up in our interview is that teams are looking for assurances that if something goes wrong with Deshaun Watson and suspension, that maybe the Texans send a pick back. That was a big, big problem. But until, as a big problem for me at least, that you may have to send picks back. But until that happens, the question becomes about Deshaun Watson and whether or not he's going to be on the exempt list. Because if he's not, he can play right away for a team. If he is, he's in trouble. And Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports addressed that question.
I can tell you the Dolphins have definitely pressed the league office for clarity on what's going on. And, you know, they're not, Stephen Ross knows, obviously all the owners know Roger Goodell, but, you know, Stephen Ross and Roger Goodell go back quite a long way. And from what I understand, you know, not only have the Texans leaned on the NFL to kind of be like, well, what's, you know, can you give us some clarity here? Like, what's going on? Stephen Ross has also done it from the Dolphins. Now, the league's position, from everything I've been told from the teams that have tried to get some clarity on this, is, you know, our position. We haven't done anything. He's not on the exempt list. And as far as what you're seeking right now, you see the process of our investigation at this point. It's bore out what it's bore out. He wouldn't be on the field right now if we felt like, you know, we had the information in hand to take him off the field. Now, the league, though, is like, this is not done. It is not concluded. Yes, he is still under investigation. Yes, there's still work to be done here. And there will be an interview at some point between Lisa Friel, the league's investigators, and Deshaun Watson. But that is not happening now, and it's not going to happen until we know we're not going to, you know, step on someone else's toes in terms of the criminal aspect of this. So, you know, I wouldn't say that the league is, that Roger Goodell has given a pipeline to anyone here saying, here's what's going on, here's the secret sauce. He's not doing that. He's just saying, look, guys, talking to the owners, we know what's out here. We're not doing anything. And as far as we're concerned, our process has taken us to this point. It can still change. And we're not committing to anything. They don't want any owners coming back later and going, you know, for example, let's say he gets indicted by a grand jury. He's going on the exempt list. If a grand jury chooses to indict him and he has to face, you know, plead to a felony charge, he's going to end up going on the exempt list at that point. And I think the league's been pretty clear to that in terms of any of the teams that have asked.
It's Charles Robinson on the show about an hour ago right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, getting some clarity on this whole, I don't know that there is any clarity anymore. We do know that Brian Flores would not answer the question when asked whether or not the Dolphins were interested in Deshaun Watson. All he said was, we're just interested in the players that are here. So that actually leaves the door open that there is a possibility that this would happen. You and I both are of the opinion, can't believe it, if you want to know the truth. That was risky business if you're going to draft Deshaun Watson and pay even 80 cents on the dollar for Deshaun Watson, because of all the uncertainties. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do anything if I was an NFL team. I mean, you're really risking
the
your job
too.
If you're the general manager and you convince Stephen Ross that it's okay to get Deshaun Watson, and now it blows up in your face because he'll either be exempt or he'll be imprisoned or he'll be suspended
and
for how long?
What if Tua's part of the deal?
Well, apparently the Texans don't want Tua. Apparently,
well, I mean, you got Mills, you're fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Why would you want Tua?
I mean, he was 10-27 against Tampa's backups. What's the problem?
Well, Tampa's backups are better than a lot of NFL teams.
Are they?
It's like Alabama.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that was Tampa Bama. Yeah. I didn't realize they played Tampa Bama. So here's one for you, John. My thought is it's bad for both teams. It's not good for a team to take the chance when they don't have clarity and answers on Deshaun Watson, even if they get their picks protected. And then number two, that leads me to the Texans. It doesn't make any sense for the Texans to make a deal. Charles Robinson made the point at the end of the phone call with this that the value for Deshaun Watson on the open market could actually go down. I would disagree with that. I think that the market will expand season's over.
There will be more teams fighting for when there is more clarity, when you know what the suspension is, when you know
you're going to get dollar for dollar.
You know
value.
That there's no grand jury, you're going to get a dollar good for package. Dollar.
I don't know what the now from Nick Caserio's standpoint, I'm sure the thought is we don't want to have Deshaun be a healthy scratch and eat up a roster spot and all that stuff.
Right.
It'd be better off if he just had an injury and you could put him on the injured list.
But don't sell him for pennies on a dollar.
Don't. He's your last. The Texans have been doing that forever with every good player they've had.
Yeah.
They've had pennies on a dollar. You can't give up Deshaun Watson for 70 cents on the dollar. You really need to get full value for him. And it's going to come up. You're going to get full value. You just have to be patient and wait. So that's what's a little strange to me is I can't see a scenario where the Texans get what they're asking for right now. I just can't see that scenario. That's why everyone talking about this being a very real thing that could happen is puzzling to me because would Miami make a deal that gives the Texans real value for Watson right now? And if so, why would the Texans do a trade? Okay, why would the Texans do a trade where you know Deshaun's going to get suspended at some point?
Right.
We both know that. So what happens then? Does one of your first become a second when he gets suspended for six games or eight games?
Okay,
then don't do the deal.
Well, wait a minute. So you've gone through it. Deshaun misses time after next draft when you got two first-rounders for Deshaun Watson. What is it that you have to give back?
I don't know.
A third-rounder? No. That means that you did that. You got nothing for him, even just because he was suspended a year.
Exactly.
No. You can't do that. The most you would give back if you give a first rounder is you would give them a third rounder back.
Well, wait. It might be just like what happens what happens in football. Let's say the Dolphins said, okay, we'll give you three first, a second, and a third, and the Texans go, all right, we'll take it. But if Deshaun Watson is suspended for six games or more, one of our firsts is going to turn into an additional second and a fifth. Or a second and a fourth.
Or you mean we have to give you back a second and a fourth.
Yeah, that's what the compensation changes.
Well, right, but it's still too much.
It's a trigger. Because
it's only six games. There's no way you do.
Okay, like Carson Wentz, right? Carson Wentz is a second, but will turn into a first if he plays, right. I think, 80% of the games. It's a kicker, only this would be a reverse kicker.
Yeah, reverse kicker, and that's too much. That's way too much, a second and a fifth.
Way too much.
Yeah, it's way too much compensation back for them. It's way too much compensation.
Oh, I don't give them anything.
Right.
You guys do want to do this. This is on you.
That's right.
We can have the talk in February, but the Texans have to act like they have the power.
That's what makes it more difficult, more and more difficult. All right, 713-780-3776, if you'd like to get in here. Interesting article. On Yahoo Sports, whether Nebraska is a cautionary tale for Oklahoma and Texas. We'll talk about that on the other side. Look, no one's perfect. Did you see Bryson DeChambeau yesterday? Okay, not perfect. You ever see, have you seen, Altuve's one of the best hitters. Look, he strikes out. This happens. If you're coming up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Get to GetRoman.com/John right now. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort, privacy of your home. U.S. licensed healthcare professional works with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/John and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without ever leaving your home. Complete an online visit today and connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/John right now and get $15 off your first month. There's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/John. Get started now. Save $15 on your first month of treatment.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here. 849 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, anyway, Nebraska moving to the Big Ten just hasn't well, it's been horrible for him. Nebraska in the big eight was a power every year. Oklahoma, Nebraska was something that you couldn't miss every season. It was great football. Nebraska, obviously, with a wonderful fan base. It's almost like the St. Louis Cardinals there, where people just rave about the home fans, how nice they are. They wish you luck. They, you know, on your way out after they kicked your ass, when they were good, they would always, you know, hey, thanks for coming and all that kind of stuff. Nebraska fan was thought to be the best fan in college football. And they have to be right now to be watching what they're watching, because they've just been, it's been a horrible program. But the move has not been, while they thought it was a good move, while they thought, you know, tech, we got to get out from the Texas umbrella, it worked out just fine for Texas A&M. It certainly hasn't worked out for Nebraska. It's been horrible for them.
Yeah. I don't know if it would have been a lot better in the Big 12, but it's this is really strange to me. I thought Frost was going to really work out. Frost was great with Central Florida. Was this UCF or USF? It was Central Florida.
Florida.
Yeah. He was, Scott Frost did a really good job there, and like,
he let him do a national title.
Well, they like to claim it. Yeah. But he really did do a good job there in a relatively short period of time. And then it looks like, you know, Nebraska boy comes home to make good. It had all the trappings of being a successful hire, and it has been anything but. He has had no traction, generated no traction. They're in the Big Ten, which to me, that doesn't bother me, the conference affiliation. You know, Nebraska, I don't think ever wanted a Big 12. I think they liked the Big 8 the way it was, and they didn't want to see it go. But this used to be a team that, frankly, they recruited some shady dudes. Under Tom Osborne, he recruited some real, the Peter brothers, Lawrence Phillips, like they started winning.
Well, that was a thing back in the Big 8, though. Oklahoma with Charles
Thompson. When in the 90s, he sold his soul. Tom Osborne sold his soul to get some really creepy guys in there. But what the big advantage they used to have is that they'd fill up their roster, but they had all these walk-ons.
Yeah, right.
And the walk-ons would get like financial scholarships from their own hometown and things like that.
Exactly.
And so these are really good. These are good players who are walking on.
Here was the thing, though. Back in the day, Nebraska had good football players.
Yeah.
Now, if you get one 4-star recruit out of the state of Nebraska, it's a lot.
I'm not fine. Well, they also used to live in JUCO. They had plenty of JUCO guys. I think Lawrence Phillips a JUCO guy. Yeah,
but they would. That was another problem.
They did a good job of kind of going to the JUCO route. Now it's not JUCO. It's transfer portal.
Yeah,
is the new JUCO.
Well,
are JUCOs dead now with transfer portals?
It's definitely hurt. High school's hurting. Everybody's hurting now with the transfer portal, and especially the extra year that everybody got because of COVID. It's been a miserable year for everybody.
If Frost gets beat handily by Illinois at Illinois, and they're not considered a good team, I have a hard time thinking he makes it through the year.
Yeah. Was that at Illinois?
It was at Illinois.
Okay. So is this a cautionary tale for Texas and Oklahoma? Enjoying life with a bunch of schools that, well, they should beat up on, and Texas hasn't been beaten up on, but they had in the past beat up on. Texas has got a rich tradition where, you know what, and they've been in the Southwest Conference and in the Big 12 somewhat. They certainly have been the richest program. They haven't been a dominant program but they're still the scariest programs in the Big 12. And that's not going to be the case anymore in the SEC. Is there any chance that either of these schools, and it would have to be, you would have to bet on Texas to be the one that would fall into oblivion in the SEC if it's between them and Oklahoma, right? Well, at this point anyway, Oklahoma is considered to be still a very, very good program, where Texas has just been mediocre.
Hard to say. I mean, Oklahoma still relies heavily on talent outside of their own state. Texas doesn't. So that's advantage Texas as far as that's concerned. But with Lincoln Riley there, it's hard to say. You know, you can't see. Here's the difference. Lincoln Riley is going to be – people are going to come after Lincoln Riley. NFL teams are going to come after Lincoln Riley. Sark is at a final job. Like, Sark potentially is at a final job because he's going to make a crap ton of money. He'll have everything given to him that he needs at Texas with a ton of money. I don't know that – now, I don't know that Lincoln Riley cares about the pros, but I think the pros are going to come after Lincoln Riley. I don't know that they'll come after Sark as heavy, but Oklahoma clearly has the advantage of being relevant for much longer than Texas, because Texas hasn't been as relevant on the big stage as they would need to. But the difference is that both schools have money, but Texas has even deeper pockets. They have even more resources. And Sarkisian is a guy who, if he does well, I think he'll stay at Texas forever. Lincoln Riley is going to – people are going to try to poach him. Not other college teams. I don't think you can get – I think Oklahoma will hang on to him for sure. But you are going to continue to have NFL teams think that Lincoln Riley, who's cranking out these NFL quarterbacks, is going to be the solution for them on the pro level. So the question becomes, can Oklahoma hang on against the draw of the NFL? The NFL, with college football, with coaches making more and more the money they're making, the top-end coaches, I don't think the NFL is even worth it. If you really want to know the truth, I think college football is a better gig than the NFL is now that the money is relatively the same for head coaches. Why would you not want to have control of your own roster? Why would you not want to be the top dog in a conference where you beat up on, you know, 90% of the conference on a regular basis, and then you're in the playoffs? Why would you not? What's the big deal? Because it's pros? You mean where you don't have the ability to handle your own roster? You mean where you have parity, which is raining down on you? You mean where there is a lack of patience now building amongst fan bases right away?
That said, I know a head coach who in the NFL, and he was in college, and he says, man, it is just so much better to not have to recruit. Granted, you have to depend on your general manager and all that. Of course, he didn't have Lincoln Riley's talent every year, which was above and beyond everybody else's.
My dad loved college way more than pros. And I said, why? He goes, because, A, the egos are gone. Like, the college kid. Now, maybe it's different now. Maybe college kids are harder to coach now. Because I think there is something to be said for, I think, well, coaches will tell you kids aren't as easy to reach and they're not as coachable. But for him, he liked that you didn't have to play politics in college with the kids. You got to teach. And you taught the kids. And, yeah, the recruiting's a pain in the ass. There's no question about that. But he found that the college football was more pure in terms of the teaching aspect. Mm-hmm. But he's a position coach. He's not a head coach. Those are two different things. From a head coaching standpoint, I think that most head coaches at most colleges would love a chance to be a head coach in the pros. But the difference to me is when you start talking about Texas, Oklahoma, Alabama, there's probably a handful of six or seven programs where you say, okay, their money is going to be similar. Which one would you rather have? The grass is just not always going to be greener. Ask Bill O'Brien, where he had, you know, he couldn't wait to get out of Penn State, and he came to the Texans and found out he was winning 10 and 11 games, and the city wasn't in.
Yeah, but
the city wasn't even buying in on 10 and 11
that
wins.
That is going to parlay his success here, and now his success at Alabama is going to parlay him into taking over for Bill Belichick coach of the Patriots.
Do you think Bill Belichick?
That's the rumor.
That's a joke. Do you think that? Do you think Bill O'Brien will ever be a head coach again?
Yes,
I do too. Do you think he'll be in college or pro?
College,
I do too.
Yep. Although he could be Bill Belichick's successor, and I just can't wait for that to happen, because I think he can take over the head coach, the offensive coordinator, and the GM role better than anyone I've ever seen. Better than anyone I've ever seen. So go get it, Patriots. Go get that. Go get that Bill O'Brien stuff, because it is awesome.
Look what he did with Tom Brady. You want Mac Jones to look like that, right?
Yeah. So with Tom Brady, he didn't win one Super Bowl. Not one. Yeah. But he set Tom up for it. He sure did. Hey, time for me to set you up with Chastang Ford. The people over at Chastang Ford are second to none. You're not buying people. You're buying a vehicle. And you're buying a Ford. You're buying a Ford product. And you can get it. You know, you get that starter. That EcoSport, that's a great starter car for somebody. It's durable. It is affordable. And you want somebody that's got something that's reliable. It's a new Ford vehicle. And you can get that. You probably get it in stock right now. But you've also got the F-150s. I'm getting the Lightning, the electric F-150, and I just can't wait. I've got it. You know what? I've got it ordered. And that's what's going on right now. Until the new car industry restocks itself, what you're doing right now is you're ordering your vehicles. And the best thing about that is you can customize it for everything that you want, get it exactly where you want on your payments, and let the pros and the nicest people work that deal for you with Ford. And you're going to love your experience at Chastain Ford. Trust me, I did. I love it. I'm going back every single time. All at ChastainFord.com or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5.